Or a question kind of came up a while back around, I guess maybe it touches on the raging controversy, but are people experiencing like deep samaya, like jhanas, in different ways? Is that part of what, are people actually experiencing things in different ways? Is that what's kind of fueling some of this controversy or not?
You mean that it's well, yeah, obviously people are experiencing it differently because they're expressing it differently, and then they're developing views and opinions differently, and yeah, that's not strange because there's 7 billion kind of views and opinions. Well, no, that's only there's 7 billion bases of different views and opinions. I go out from that. So that, yeah, I mean, it's a, because, you know, they are, I mean, there's obviously there's a certain parameters that the Buddha is trying to point to, and certain characteristics that emerge as well, and they follow a certain pattern. But yeah, there's nothing that you can sort of nail up a sign and say, this is what first jhana, this is it. Little wooden sign, nail it on and say, this is the first jhana. These are mental experiences. And yeah, there's certain parameters and characteristics that are typical. And then then it's just human nature goes on from there to turn it into you know, whatever, or to even not recognize it, to dismiss it. I mean, that's another aspect of because sometimes I know Ajahn Chah sort of, you know, pointing to the aspects of, you know, how the mind, physically and mentally, how one experiences a settling, and you know, he said, you know, sometimes people don't pay attention to it, and then they don't cultivate it, you know, or they, you know, they don't give it its importance, so it doesn't grow. You know? So those are, you know, there's, because it's sort of like, you know, it starts from the view, the opinion, that one is a hopeless, messed up basket case and can't possibly concentrate the mind or settle the mind. So then, you know, it works from that position, and even if one does start to experience a bit of peace or settling, then we don't recognize it or develop it or cultivate it, train it. So yeah, that's the subjective nature of our experience, you know, both in terms of what we make of it, or you know, how we overvalue it or undervalue it, is kind of part of the whole process. Because this is exactly why the Buddha comes back to dukkha as the basis of his teaching, because that whole spectrum of experience, in the end, is just an experience that arises and passes away and is fraught with dukkha and subject to being picked up as, this is who I am, this is me, this is mine, and perpetuating the cycle of suffering.
It does seem like that. What jhana is and how I can get me some of it is, yeah, kind of one of the biggest points of, yeah, you know, controversial discussion.
Yeah, if you really want to get people going, then you start conversations in that realm. You know, if you want the conversation to end real quickly, then you say, well, what about suffering and the end of suffering? Yeah.
When Ajahn Chah talks about his teacher, reminded me of what you said about Ajahn Chah, Arjun just specifically mentioned that like his teacher would, and even Arjun Lee would like talk about jhana as a good thing, but then when you went to him with your meditation question and meditation experience, he wouldn't label it all. He would just tell you how to work with it to develop it. But he wouldn't use those key words because they got in the way.
Yes, yes. They confirm. One is looking for affirmation of a self view, and a good teacher doesn't sort of give you that encouragement.